The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Mistress Lucia features execution and graphic violence. Please exercise caution for children under 13. The rickety cart jostled from side to side as it rolled through the town square. Juan tried not to look at the people who surrounded him on all sides, booing and hissing. He felt a gob of spit land on his forehead. He wiped it off without looking away from the wooden boards by his feet. As he mounted the steps leading to the platform in the center of the square, a piece of rotten meat hit him squarely in the back of the head. Juan didn't turn around. For days he'd been languishing in a dark, dirty cell with nothing to do but ruminate on his sister's unexpected betrayal. Whatever injuries these people wanted to heap upon him, they could not come close to the heartbreak she had caused. A hooded executioner placed a rope around Juan's neck. The man asked if he had any last words. Juan finally raised his head to survey the scene in front of him. He looked out over the sea of jeering villagers before resting his gaze on the king. Leon stood high above him on a balcony jutting out from the castle. Juan growled, "The king will live to regret this day." The executioner nodded and walked over to the gallows lever. Juan's gaze did not leave the royal balcony. A woman stood behind the king wearing a golden crown dotted with pearls. Juan finally registered her face. Suddenly, everything became clear to him. He tried to call out, but before he could, the executioner pulled the lever and the floor dropped out beneath him. It was too late. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. This week, we'll be telling the Mexican folktale of Mistress Lucia, a tragic story of loss, heartbreak, and revenge. Mistress Lucia is one of 115 stories that appear in a 2002 anthology published by John Bierhorst, simply titled Latin American Folktales. Bierhorst was an American folklorist who spent years translating and collecting the stories of the indigenous peoples of Central and South America. Understanding the folklore of Central America is a difficult task due to the cultural erasure perpetuated by European powers throughout history. In particular, during the 16th century, Spanish colonists undertook the systematic dismantling of indigenous cultures in order to fortify the rule of the conquistadors in the Americas. Lawmakers outlawed indigenous languages and religions. They burned books of Aztec history and even went so far as to forbid the preparation and consumption of certain popular indigenous dishes. Many Mesoamerican folktales would not survive these purges. Often, the native stories that did survive did so by disguising themselves within European stories imported by Spanish colonists. It seems Mistress Lucia is such a tale. Though its plot structure is traditionally European, at its core, Mistress Lucia is a story about the unpredictable power of nature. Western fairy tales often focus on aspects of human behavior, like class or gender, in order to reinforce cultural norms. In European folklore, even animal stories do not focus on nature. They're often allegories for human issues. The unusual lesson of Mistress Lucia makes it easy to see how parts of an indigenous story may have been embedded into a European one. The resilience and resourcefulness of these indigenous storytellers is what makes Mistress Lucia so compelling. The king's horse created a cloud of dust as it carried him down the old dirt road. Not long ago, Leon had decided that he would like to take a wife. Of course, such a thing was easier said than done. Though he'd seen hundreds of women in the past year, each of them had seemed dowdier and stupider than the last. After so many disappointments, he was finally ready to go home. Leon arrived at a low stone bridge. He dismounted his horse and sat to rest in the shade of an acacia tree. But he did not rest long. Soon he noticed the figure of an old man shambling toward him. The man called out, "Hello, my friend. Would you like to buy a cup of horchata or some pan dulce?" Leon frowned and shook his head. The peddler continued, "No food or drink? Perhaps you would like some trinket, then. I have tobacco pipes, copper pots, even portraits of beautiful ladies. Come, there must be something I can tempt you with." Leon laughed at the peddler's persistence and agreed to take a look at the portraits. The man pulled out a tattered pile of pictures drawn in crude pencil. Leon began to go through them. The faces that looked out at him were all the same, pitifully ordinary. That was until he came to the last picture in the pile. It showed a young woman with long, dark curls that flowed over her dainty shoulders. There was something about this young woman, the curve of her lips, perhaps, or the long, dark lashes that hovered over her wide eyes. Even from this simple sketch, Leon could see that she was far more beautiful than any of the women he'd met in the past year. Leon asked the peddler who she was. Smiling, the peddler reached for the picture and held it up to the sunlight.
"Captivating, isn't she? Of course, in reality, Mistress Lucia is 1,000 times more enchanting than I could ever capture with pencil and paper."
He explained that Mistress Lucia was a reclusive orphan who lived with her brother in the town of La Cañada. Leon paid the peddler for the picture and placed it carefully into his breast pocket. He remounted his horse, this time with a renewed sense of purpose. Just when it seemed that all hope was lost, King Leon may have finally found his wife. Several days later, Leon still had not forgotten about the girl in the picture. He was sitting at his desk when a knock came at the door to his study. A handsome young man entered the room, flanked by two soldiers. He had thick black hair and a worried expression. Leon dismissed the guards and motioned for Juan to take a seat. Leon smiled at him reassuringly and said,
"I'm sure you're wondering why I've summoned you here."
Juan nodded. Leon pulled out the postcard he'd gotten from the peddler and handed it to Don Juan. He asked if the woman in the picture was indeed his sister, and if she was truly as beautiful as she looked in the portrait. Juan's entire demeanor seemed to change. He leaned back in his chair and said,
"Sir, that picture is a poor facsimile of my sister, but if your wish is to marry her, I must first inform you that Lucia is no ordinary woman."
The king raised an eyebrow and asked what was so extraordinary about her. Juan leaned forward. In a conspiratorial tone, he told the king that his sister had 3 talents. "Whenever Lucia brushes her hair, pearls fall out.
When she washes her hands, flowers drop from her fingers, and when she cries, it rains. The king frowned. If your sister is as beautiful as this picture and has the powers you claim, then I should be delighted to ask for her hand in marriage. Although I must warn you, if you have lied, your punishment will be swift and severe. Juan laughed. To exaggerate my sister's beauty would be an impossible task. Leon grinned. All this time, he'd been wondering if the maiden in the picture could possibly be real. Now, the young Don's demeanor had convinced him. No one would lie so brazenly if they knew that the punishment would be death. Lucia's heart leapt when she saw her brother step out of the gilded carriage. For 3 days, she'd been consumed with worry. People said the king could be temperamental and demanding. While Juan was gone, Lucia had spent hours picturing the many things that might happen to her brother if he could not meet expectations. As soon as Juan stepped through the front door, Lucia threw her arms about his neck. She wept and told him how worried she'd been. Juan held her at a distance and looked at her with misty eyes. Lucia's heart fell at his expression. She asked him what the matter was, and he shook his head sadly. "The king has seen a picture of you and gotten it into his head that he must have you for his bride." Lucia's mouth dropped open. This was unprecedented. Nothing ever happened in her life. All this time she'd been picturing the many fates that might befall her brother, but she had never imagined that something might possibly happen to her. Juan told her that the king was expecting her to come as soon as possible. He instructed Lucia to go up to her rooms and start packing her things. Lucia looked at her brother sadly. She could see from the tears forming in his eyes how hurt he was to be losing her. Juan had never been one for emotional displays. She would leave him to deal with his feelings alone, as she had always done. Once in her chambers, Lucia called for her servant Maria to help her pack. Maria was an unfortunate-looking little thing. She had pockmarked skin and greasy hair the color of a dusty road. She'd come to the hacienda years ago with her mother, a haggard old woman named Pilar. Lucia had never particularly liked either of them, but now she realized how much she would miss being surrounded by familiar faces. Maria went from room to room, gathering Lucia's possessions. Lucia set about preparing her bird cages. She had 2 pet birds, a parakeet and a mockingbird. Aside from her brother, they were the 2 things she loved most in the world. She wondered what the king would think about her birds. More importantly, what would she think of the king? The idea of leaving her home was terrifying and exhilarating all at once. She couldn't imagine what it would be like to be married to a man she'd never met before, let alone a king. Her mind was abuzz with the frightening and exciting possibilities. As she started tidying the cages, Maria approached to ask if she could help. Lucia explained that she wanted to get used to cleaning the cages. She wouldn't trust anyone at the palace enough to let them do it for her. Maria perked up at that and asked if she could go to the palace as well to help clean the cages. Lucia smiled kindly. She nodded her assent and sent Maria off to get permission. Maria returned shortly with her mother. Pilar insisted that if Maria was going to the palace, she would have to come along too. Of course, Juan would be thrilled with the idea of sending servants along with his sister. He had business to attend to before he could join her at the palace. As the carriage rolled away, Lucia leaned out the window and waved a handkerchief at her stone-faced brother. Her leaving hadn't felt quite real until this moment. Lucia watched as her home receded into the distance. Tears began to roll down her cheeks. In response, the sky opened up and it began to rain. The carriage rumbled through the rolling hills of the desert landscape. The gentle rocking movement lulled Lucia into a deep sleep. She was awakened by the sound of Maria's voice.
Mistress Lucia, look! There are hundreds of strawberries growing on the other side of that hill.
Lucia rubbed her eyes and commented that she didn't think strawberries grew in the desert. Pilar scoffed.
Well, what would you know? You've never been seen outside your own home. Come, tell the driver to stop and we'll pick some to present to the king.
Lucia shrugged. She supposed the old woman was right. She leaned out the window and signaled for the driver to stop. As the three women hopped out of the carriage, Lucia's parakeet began to chirp rapidly. Lucia laughed. Thinking the little bird must want to go with them, she picked up the little cage and held it out in front of her. As they got further away from the carriage, Lucia began to feel uneasy. Something about this did not seem right, but these were old family servants. Her brother had trusted them, so why shouldn't she? She followed the two women up over the hill. Once she came in sight of the canyon on the other side, Lucia looked to Pilar and asked where the strawberries were. The old woman gave a wicked smile and said,
"Don't you know, you stupid girl? Strawberries don't grow in the desert."
With that, she seized Lucia's dress and tore it from her body. Pilar gave her a hard push and sent her tumbling down the hillside and into the canyon below. Coming up, Maria takes Lucia's place at the palace. Now, back to the story. Maria looked down at the place setting in front of her. There were four forks on one side of her plate and four knives on the other. She hesitantly picked up one of the larger forks and looked to her mother, who was sitting across the table. Pilar shook her head. Maria pushed her plate of food away and told the king she wasn't hungry. Of course, this wasn't true. Maria was famished, but she was also terrified. She was afraid that even the tiniest mistake would give her away as a mere servant girl. Who knew what the king would do if he discovered that she had tricked him into marriage by taking Mistress Lucia's place? When she and Pilar arrived at the palace, the king had gone a bit yellow. He'd produced a picture of Mistress Lucia and asked why she looked so different in her portrait. Pilar had pushed the picture away impatiently, saying that artists were always making things look better on paper. The king gave her a grim smile and told Maria that if she wasn't hungry, perhaps they should proceed straight to the introduction he had planned for her.
"I wanted to close out the wedding by showing off your talents."
Maria nodded blankly. She wasn't sure what he was talking about, but whatever it was, it couldn't possibly be more daunting than the silverware that had been laid out before her. She nodded. The king arose from the table and gestured for her to follow. Maria smiled at him uneasily. The king led her down the hallway toward a sunlit balcony. He opened the glass-paneled doors and pulled Maria outside. Below was a crowd of at least 300 people. They were looking directly at her, undoubtedly waiting for her to perform some talent which she did not possess. Maria's heart sank. This was far worse than choosing the right silverware. Maria looked at the king. He smiled broadly and held out an ivory-handled brush. She tried to turn around and head back into the hallway, but the king placed a gentle hand on her back and whispered into her ear,
"Come now, don't be shy. Brush your hair. I want to show the people what my new wife can do."
Maria hesitantly took the brush and put it to her head. As soon as she did, the crowd let out a raucous cheer. But as she began brushing, The applause died down. The brush made a ripping sound as she tore it through the tangles in her limp locks. A strand of hair floated down off the balcony, followed by a fat, white louse. The king took hold of her hand and whispered, "Why isn't it working?" When she didn't respond, he shook his head in disgust. "Fine, let's just go to your next talent." He snapped his fingers and a servant brought forth a basin of water. Maria looked at the basin in confusion. The king whispered, "Go ahead, wash your hands." Maria sighed and plunged her hands into the basin. Dirty brown water sloshed over the edge of the balcony. The people below began to scream and boo. Maria looked over to the king. He was glaring at her furiously. This was it. Surely the king was going to realize that she was an imposter. Tears spilled over her cheeks. For a moment, when she started crying, the crowd went silent. Then they broke out into a chorus of violent shouting. Maria turned around and fled back into the palace. She ran back to her chambers and collapsed on the bed. After a few minutes, she heard someone enter the room. She looked up to see her mother. Pilar's face had gone white as a sheet. She sat down beside her daughter and hissed, "Stop your crying! Do you want to get us both killed?" Maria made no attempt to stop crying. She told her mother that they were doomed anyway, so she may as well cry. Pilar smacked the back of her head. "We're not doomed, you fool. Tell the king that whatever gifts he expected you to have were probably an invention of Don Juan. Say he's prone to lying and exaggerating." Maria blinked away her tears. Don Juan had always been kind to her, and she didn't want to see his head on the chopping block. Of course, she also knew that as soon as he laid eyes on her, he would reveal her mother's treachery. Maria dried her tears and sat up. She knew what she had to do. Don Juan was alarmed when he arrived at the palace and was greeted by four heavily armed soldiers. When they grabbed him by the arms, he knew something must be terribly wrong. By the time they had escorted him up to the throne room, his stomach was tied in a knot of fear. The king sat in the center of a long wooden table. He was surrounded on either side by a number of stern-faced judges. The soldiers pushed Juan forward, and he fell to his knees. Leon rapped his scepter against the tiled floor. He spoke in a grave voice. "Don Juan de Salvo, you stand accused of deliberately misleading your king. How do you plead?" Juan frowned and asked the king what he was talking about. Leon burst out angrily. "You know very well. You told me your sister was a beautiful woman with three charms. In fact, she is homely. As for her abilities, I would be surprised if she could make ice into water." Juan's mouth dropped open. He said it wasn't true. Anyone with eyes could see his sister's beauty, and her talents spoke for themselves. The king shook his head sadly. "If you had only claimed she was beautiful, that would be one thing. I might be able to excuse that. But you also made grand claims about her gifts. You said she could make it rain with her tears, comb pearls from her hair, and drip flowers from her fingers. You've taken me for a fool, sir." Don Juan looked around frantically. In the back of the room, he could see his sister's mockingbird hanging in its golden cage. She must be nearby. Why was she doing this to him? Had she been afraid to show off her talents? Surely she must have realized that he would be punished. He asked to see Lucia. If he could just see her, maybe he could clear all this up. The king replied, "Lucia was as humiliated by the afternoon's events as I was. She is taken to bed with a headache. but she has confirmed my suspicion that you are a liar."
Don Juan shook his head. It wasn't possible. His sweet little sister wouldn't betray him like this. The king was saying something, but Juan couldn't hear anything above the roaring tumult of emotions in his own head. He heard the distant sound of the staff hitting the floor. He emerged from his stupor just in time to hear the words, "Sentenced to hang by the neck until dead." All he could do as the soldiers dragged him away was to scream his sister's name. Lucia shivered as she staggered through the dark desert. When she'd awoken from her fall down the canyon, she was laying in the dirt with Maria's rags lying on top of her. The only other thing she had was her pet parakeet. The ground was littered with cactus spines. Lucia's feet were bloody and swollen. Each step left a red footprint on the dusty earth. As the sun sank below the horizon, a bitter chill set in. She pulled the maid's threadbare poncho tightly around her shoulders, but it did little to protect her against the cold. Up until today, Lucia had never left the grounds of her hacienda. She'd never met a stranger, seen the desert, or been outside after dark. As Lucia emerged from a copse of trees, her heart sank. For hours, she'd been following a dry riverbed at the bottom of a narrow canyon. Now she was facing a dead end. She could either go back the way she'd come or attempt to climb the sheer rock face. Her only other option was to sit down where she was and never get up. Lucia suddenly felt exhausted. She clearly wasn't meant to survive, so she may as well have stopped fighting the inevitable. As she leaned back against a tree trunk and closed her eyes, a voice echoed through the canyon.
"Dear Mama Lucia, keep going."
Lucia's eyes flew open. She looked around, but there was no one there. The voice came again. Lucia hopped up from where she'd been sitting. The only other creature in sight was her blue and yellow parakeet. Lucia looked at him curiously. The bird opened his beak and said a third time,
"Dear Mama Lucia, keep going."
Lucia smiled. Just a moment ago, she'd felt ready to give up, but now she felt she had to keep going. If a tiny bird could believe in her, maybe Lucia should be able to believe in herself. She took hold of one of the rocks jutting out of the cliff in front of her and began to climb. Coming up, Lucia must find a way to make it back to the castle. Now, the conclusion to our story. Lucia collapsed in exhaustion when she reached the top of the canyon. She felt elated. All her life she'd been told that she needed protection because of her magical gifts. She always thought she was too weak to go out into the world. Traveling to the capital to marry the king was exciting, but deep in her heart, Lucia had known that she was only trading one sort of confinement for another. Lucia's outlook had changed, though. The betrayal and abandonment by her wicked servants had taught Lucia that she was much stronger than she ever could have imagined. Sitting up, Lucia spotted the distant lights of a building, and her heart leapt. She dusted herself off and started toward the structure. As she drew closer, she could see that it was a house, a little two-room cabin with a thatched roof and adobe walls. At the house, Lucia was greeted by an old woodcutter and his family. Though he had little to offer her, he said that Lucia was welcome to stay as long as she'd like. Lucia spent a few days at the adobe house. She helped the mother with the cooking and cleaning during the day. The children were delighted by Lucia's talents and her talking bird. At night, she washed her hands in the rusty old pump.
But honeysuckle, birds of paradise, and delicate pink orchids dripped from her fingers. The children gathered around her and gasped in wonder at the marvelous blossoms. On the third day, the woodcutter's wife returned from a trip to town with the news that King Leon was in need of a seamstress. This gave Lucia an idea. If she entered the palace as a seamstress, she could find a way to meet the king and learn what kind of man he was. Lucia thanked the woodcutter's family for showing her such kindness. Before she left, she combed her long, dark hair into a wooden bowl, filling it with pearls. She gave them to the family as a parting gift. With her newfound confidence and her parakeet on her shoulder, Lucia set off toward the castle. When Lucia arrived, she presented herself to the head of the household. She told him that she was an experienced dressmaker and wished to be considered for the position of royal seamstress. The man looked her over and nodded approvingly. As luck would have it, a button had popped off the king's shirt just that afternoon. As a test of her skill, she could go up to the king's chambers to sew it back on. Lucia pushed lightly against the glass door that led to an ornate salon. The room was magnificently appointed, with gilded mirrors, carved wood paneling, and wall coverings of apple green damask. She called out, and the king answered her from behind a porcelain screen. The parakeet took off from Lucia's shoulder and flew behind the screen. As Lucia came around it, she saw that he had settled on a sky blue chaise next to the king. She could not help but notice that the king was quite handsome. He had thick black hair, peppered with a dashing streak of gray, and a strong, square jaw. Her heart melted when she saw that he was feeding grapes to her mockingbird. As soon as the bird saw Lucia and the parakeet, he began to speak.
"Mistress Lucia, oh, Mistress Lucia, your brother Don Juan was done in, and his grave lies in the commons."
The words stopped Lucia in her tracks. Of course, she knew he was just a silly bird, but just the thought of her beloved brother brought tears to her eyes. As soon as she started crying, rain began to lash against the window panes. The king rushed to Lucia's side and pulled out a handkerchief. When his fingers brushed hers, Lucia's pulse quickened. She thanked him and dried her tears. As she did, the rain let up. Lucia studied the king's face. He was gazing at her with a sort of wide-eyed wonder. It made her blush to have someone look at her like that. She was about to ask about the button that needed fixing when there was a knock on the door. A servant entered with a tray of hot chocolate and conchas. The king asked Lucia if she would like to join him for a snack. Lucia's heart leapt. Surely any king who would deign to share his meal with a humble servant must be a good man. She gave the king a luminous smile and asked if first she could wash her hands. He directed her to a marble basin filled with water. Lucia dipped her hands into the bowl, and it immediately filled with flowers. The king gasped audibly. "It's you!" Lucia could not suppress a grin. She'd seen enough from the king to know he was a good man. It was time to tell him the truth. She burst forth with the story of how the servant and her mother had taken her place. When she was finished, the king tenderly took her hands. He looked into her eyes and told Lucia she needn't worry anymore. "From this day forward, I will protect you." Lucia wanted to say that she didn't need protection anymore, but before she could, the king rang a bell and a servant appeared at his side. He told the man to arrest the imposter queen and her mother. Lucia opened her mouth to speak, but the king held up a finger to silence her.
I want them to hang from the uppermost branch of the tallest tree on the highest hill. Let their bodies be left as a warning to any servant who might defy their mistress."
Lucia shook her head and said she'd have no such thing, but the king took her hand and looked kindly into her eyes.
"Those wicked women deserve to be punished, my dear. After all, it is they who are the cause of all your unhappiness."
Lucia wanted to respond, but before she could, the king clapped his hands and six more servants appeared. The king barked orders at them. Before she knew it, Lucia was being swept out of the room on a tide of fussing maids. The maids dressed her and arranged her hair. They then escorted her to the chapel, where a priest waited beside her intended. Everything was happening much faster than Lucia had expected. She wanted it all to slow down, but she didn't know who to ask. Lucia barely had time to process the words the priest was saying. Before she knew it, she was walking down the aisle, hand in hand, with her new husband. When the ceremony was over, the king turned to his new wife. He smiled broadly and asked,
"My dear, I should like to present a demonstration of your gifts to the kingdom."
Lucia felt a little uneasy. She considered telling her husband that she had only shown her gifts to a few people, but then her mockingbird landed on her left shoulder while her parakeet alighted on the right. With her birds by her side, she didn't need to be afraid of anything anymore. Lucia said she would be happy to share her gifts. King Leon led her down a long hallway, ending in a balcony. Stepping outside, Lucia was greeted with an eerie silence. She surveyed the crowd below her and saw that many of the people seemed angry. A few were even hissing and jeering. She looked tentatively at her new husband, but he just grinned and handed her a hairbrush. Lucia sighed and began to brush her hair. As soon as she did, a shower of pearls fell forth from her long black locks. The crowd burst into tremendous applause. Lucia brushed her hair for a few minutes, but when she saw the people below her fighting over the pearls, she stopped. As if on cue, a servant came forth with a wide stone basin. Lucia shook her head, but the king motioned for her to get on with it. Lucia bit her lip and dipped her hands into the basin. As soon as she did, flowers began to spill forth. They rained over the crowd below. People started climbing over one another to get closer to the balcony. Lucia pulled her hands out of the basin. She frowned and asked the king,
"Shouldn't my brother be here to see this? I can't imagine that he's still in La Cañada. Where is he?"
The mockingbird opened his beak and sang,
"Mistress Lucia, oh Mistress Lucia, your brother Don Juan was done in, and his grave lies in the commons."
Lucia looked out past the crowd to the gallows that stood in the center of the commons. She looked back to the king, and his pleading look of remorse told her everything she needed to know. Lucia sank to the floor. The king was trying to explain to her, trying to make excuses, but she pushed him away. Her brother was dead. Her new husband had him executed because he thought Juan was a liar. Lucia put her head in her hands and began to cry. The heavens opened up and rain poured down like nothing anyone had ever seen before. The people clambered over each other to make it out of the square, but the waves swept through like a herd of cattle. The water crashed against the king's palace. It washed away his stables and knocked his statuary to the ground. The king looked on in horror as brick by brick, his fine palace was destroyed. The rain crashed into the walls and swept them away. The tapestries inside were torn to ribbons, and the fine furniture was dashed into kindling. He begged and pleaded with Lucia to stop crying, but it was no use. The new queen sat on the stone balcony and cried until half the kingdom had been swept away in a flood of her tears. One possible origin of Mistress Lucia is a European fairy tale titled The Goose Girl. It tells the story of a princess who's betrothed to a king she's never met before. The princess travels to the foreign kingdom with her trusted handmaid and talking animal companion. But before she arrives, the handmaid overpowers her and takes her place. The princess then goes on to take a domestic position at the castle, which allows her to meet the king and reveal herself to him. The Goose Girl and Mistress Lucia share enough key similarities that it's reasonable to theorize that Mistress Lucia may have evolved from some variant of the European story. What makes Mistress Lucia so interesting are the changes that were made to the tale when it traveled to the New World. The Goose Girl possesses magic powers just as Mistress Lucia does, but while the Goose Girl inherits her powers from objects, Lucia's powers are based on elements of nature. Incidentally, if you're interested in learning more about the Goose Girl, we've covered that story in another episode of Tales. Lucia's power over nature draws a parallel to another Mesoamerican story, this one of Zapotec origin. The story of Lucia Zenteno tells of a young woman who comes to a village along with her pet iguana and a flock of butterflies. She's so lovely that the river falls in love with her. When the cruel villagers chase her away, she takes the water with her, leaving the village plagued by drought. The violent history of Spanish colonialism makes it difficult to find direct evidence for the lineage of these stories. It's easy to see how Mistress Lucia may have incorporated elements of both stories. The general structure takes on that of the European tale. Smaller details, like the name of the protagonist or the power she wields over nature, come from the Zapotec story. Many adapted Mesoamerican fairy tales carry a subtextual message of resistance to European colonialism. Using elements of colonial culture to preserve the stories of the oppressed is, in and of itself, an act of rebellion. In the case of Mistress Lucia, there's an additional message that comes through at the end of the tale. Those who try to use the land for their own benefit may find for a time that they can reap its riches. Eventually, though, they will be swept away by the awesome powers of the natural forces they sought to exploit. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next week with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free, from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Freddie Beckley. This episode of Tales was written by Zoe Louisa Lewis, with writing assistance by Greg Castro. I'm Vanessa Richardson.